In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Many years ago, I saw for the first time a picture of elaborate sand sculptures that were being entered into a sandcastle competition that at the time I found completely amazing and was rare. Over the past few years, these competitions have become rather commonplace and can be found about any state in the country that has sand. But I must say, as I look at those over the years, I'm always amazed at these sculptures and find it hard to believe that they can construct anything of sand at all. Because as you all recognize, sand is a very difficult medium to work with because it is so fragile. Unlike other forms of sculpture which last for indefinite periods of time, sand sculptures are always limited. They're always a temporary thing. The sculpture ultimately has to witness their creation be subject to the wind and the waves eventually and be destroyed. It's obvious to us in the material realm, but it's amazing how the things that are obvious to us in the material realm are not always as obvious to us in the spiritual realm. Because spiritually, we can build our lives on sinking sands. We can make elaborate sand castles and build a life that is like a sand castle for ourselves. Or we can build our lives on the sure foundation of Christ, the chief cornerstone. And that is the lesson, essentially, that we must take from the parable in the gospel text today. It's a difficult parable to ponder. It illustrates how God has acted consistently for the good of mankind. God has provided a good vineyard with a wine press, with a hedge that is round about it. He has graciously allowed tenants into his vineyard, and despite his good and gracious acts towards us, mankind has often rejected God. And the parable illustrates this. It illustrates the history of salvation, how God has sent the law to instruct us, how God has sent his prophets to guide us. And when these messengers suffered rejection, finally, in the fullness of time, God sent his very Son. The parable itself prophesies how Christ, too, would suffer death itself, suffer his own rejection. When Christ finished the parable, he questioned the Pharisees and the chief priests who were gathered to hear his parable. He questions them, saying, "What then will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants?" And they quickly answer, "He will cast those miserable wretches out and kill them." Not knowing that they were speaking judgment on themselves, Christ then responds, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." It is only then that they realize that Christ has spoken this parable against them, and that they have indeed rendered judgment on themselves. And if you are to read ahead in the next few verses following where the gospel text concludes in our passage this morning, you recognize that anger gets so to such an extreme that they're ready to act then and there on the spot and kill Christ right then and there, thus fulfilling ultimately the point of the parable. However, they fear the multitude, and so Christ passes through their midst. One of the difficult aspects of this parable that I have found over the years is, how do we apply this parable to our own lives? I mean, we don't always recognize how to do this. We read it and we simply acknowledge that it does have a reference to the past. But what does this chronicle of salvation history have to do with me here and now today? And frankly, I think the parable has a lot to do with us simply because it addresses the age-old tendency of mankind to reject God and his influence in our lives. And it would be a grave mistake to walk away this morning assuming that this parable was told only for the chief priests and the Pharisees who heard it 2,000 years ago. Certainly, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were not the only ones who rejected Christ. Down through the ages, many people have continued the same mistake of rejecting Christ. And while we find ourselves gathered together in an Orthodox Christian church to worship Christ this morning, while we name ourselves as Christians, while we recognize that we are followers of Christ, I can't help but question how true that always is. Are we really diligently following after Christ as we're called to do, or do we simply do token gestures maintaining a Christian image? See, we, as we gather here together, surely we have not outright rejected Christ, But let's think about it on a more subtle level. The parable does address us. Because we need to remember that each and every time that we turn away from following after Christ, each and every time we turn away from his path and his plan for our life, we are rejecting him in that moment. Each and every time we give in to temptation and we sin, we are rejecting Christ in that moment. When we're prompted to pray and we do not, we are rejecting Christ in that moment. When we're prompted to repent or to read the scripture and we do nothing about this, in those moments we are rejecting Christ. And when God gives us the opportunity, the possibility of change stands before us and we refuse to make the necessary changes in our lives, ultimately, in that moment, we are rejecting Christ. Maybe not in an ultimate scheme of our life, but we certainly are in that moment. And Christ, his concluding statement in the parable has a lot to do with us. He speaks of himself saying, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." And we must certainly come to terms with the reality that Christ is the only foundation stone in this life, the only foundation on which we must build our lives. He is the only sure foundation in this life. The problem is, I think, many times we compartmentalize our life. We set up the little categories and we think that these compartments, that's how we function in life. And spirituality and Christianity is one of the compartments of our life. And so when it comes to spirituality and the faith, certainly we look and we say, of course, Christ is the foundation. But what about all the other categories and the little compartments of our life that we have set up? Is Christ truly the foundation of those areas of life as well? Is Christ the foundation of how we approach our life at school? Is Christ the foundation of how we approach our life at work? Is Christ the foundation of how we engage our spouse in marriage? Is Christ the foundation of how we raise our children? See, we might not think about this, or we might think about it only in a token way and never really come to terms with what it means to apply this reality of Christ must be our foundation in everything, in all of life. See, and when we compartmentalize our life in this way, we so easily can turn aside from the foundation that Christ needs to be in all areas of life, because that's over there in the spirituality category, and we turn aside to some other area and try to build our life for ourselves out of sand on a foundation of sand. And as elaborate as those sandcastles may be, inevitably, the waves of life will eventually come crashing down on them. It's a given. It's a reality. Life itself will come crashing down on the sands, those sandcastles that we build. It may be months, it may be years, it might even be a decade or more, but eventually, the waves of life come crashing down on those sandcastles that we have built. And when the waves of life come crashing down, as they always do, we seem to stand bewildered and hurt over the fact that our sandcastle has now been completely destroyed and leveled by the waves that have come crashing down. It's as if we're surprised and shocked by that reality, when all the while we need to know that, of course, it's the reality, because Christ is the only sure foundation in this life. He is the only cornerstone in this life on which we must build our life. Today we must ask ourselves, are we building our lives completely on him, or are we setting up these other categories of life when we're setting up sandcastles on foundations of sand? Our Heavenly Father has sent his only Son into this world to lay a sure foundation. Are we building our lives on Christ, or have we rejected this foundation? See, life is too important and far too short to waste time on sinking sands. So consider how we must apply this. In the academic pursuits of school, we have to recognize that we cannot build our life on sinking sands. Lying, cheating to get ahead just simply is not what we should do as Christians. We choose the path of integrity and build on the solid foundation of Christ. Likewise in the workplace, relying on gossip and slander and backstabbing to get ahead, that's simply not the path that we should take. That's building a sandcastle that will come crashing down upon us. If we're going to pursue a solid foundation, we have to pursue the solid foundation of hard work, honest work. That whole category of school applies in the workplace too. We don't lie, cheat, or steal to get ahead. We have to have that solid foundation of Christ in our life. What about how we approach our marriages? How we approach our spouses? Because if we're building apart from Christ and trying to build a marriage apart from Christ, eventually our efforts and the popular wisdom that we subscribe to comes crashing down. It has to be built on the foundation of Christ, pursuing the virtue of what it means to be a godly husband and a godly wife. That's what our spouse needs of us, to pursue Christ, to have a foundation of Christ in our life, and to establish our relationship on Christ. What about how we raise our children? Certainly, what we have to ask ourselves, what do we want to instill in our children? And certainly, we have to do things like play with our children and read to our children and help our children with homework and the like. But we have to take a step beyond that as well, don't we? We have to teach them the faith. We have to pray with them. And teaching them the faith means far more than just sharing words with them. It means living an example of the Christian faith to them. Because children learn by our example far more than they learn from our words. And discipleship is always caught rather than it is taught. When they see how we live our life, dedicated fully to Christ, building our life on the foundation of Christ, they too will want to build their life on Christ. When they see us pray, they want to pray. When they see us fast, they will take fasting seriously. When they see us suffer for the faith, then they understand what that means. And they understand when it comes to them that it is their call as well. But they don't understand these things if we say one thing and do another. We have to lead our children by our very example, leading on the foundation of Christ ourselves and thus giving them a foundation of Christ. Don't waste the limited time of this life building structures of sand on foundation of sand. Don't reject Christ in these other categories of life and these compartments that we set up. Christ is the one sure cornerstone in this life. So let us build a solid life on the solid foundation of Christ alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.